Saturday Breakfast on ABC Radio Perth.
Hi, I'm Sarah Knight. You're about to meet Tandy Kawana. Tandy is a mental health nurse who found herself in her pyjamas at her GP. She was diagnosed with depression. Now, her story is a success story, and in sharing it, she hopes you'll feel empowered to seek help if you need it. She has three tips to help you maintain your mental health. Tandy Kawana, let's start with what you've noticed in your work. Are we good at asking for help?
No, we're not. And it doesn't come natural to people to ask for help. I mean, we're good at asking for help for physical things, like, can you help me with this bag? Can you hold the lift for me? Can you hold the door for me? Can you give me a hand with this? That we can do. But when it comes to asking for emotional help, it's really hard. And the reason it's difficult is because somehow asking for help has stigma.
And where do you think that stigma comes from?
I think more and more now with social media around, people seem to live perfect lives. And we look around, people seem to have it all together. So then when you don't have it all together, you're thinking there's something wrong with me. But the honest truth is, I think one way or another, we're all going through stuff. Some cope better than others. Some need more help than others.
I feel like we talk about mental health a lot, though.
We seem to talk about it, but we don't share a lot of the success stories.
Okay.
So what is out there in the media mostly is someone with a mental illness has done this, they've committed this crime. But there's not a lot of stories of the ordinary person with a mental illness who's still able to go to work, a GP with depression who's still able to continue with their job, a high achiever, a scientist who's got anxiety or bipolar disorder, and they're still able to function. So we don't have many of those stories out there. So that's what scares people. Then they think they're going to struggle all on their own and there's probably something more wrong with them when a lot of us have issues that we're dealing with.
And it's funny, isn't it? Because when it comes to your body, like your physical body, we're all about getting fit and, you know, going for a run and doing regular exercise to maintain a level of fitness. But for mental health, there's not really that kind of, you don't go to the gym for your mental health, right?
Yeah, and I think there's been a lot of talk about looking after your physical health, neglecting to talk about looking after your mental health. And I think that's where the confusion is, because some people confuse mental health and mental illness. We all have a mental health.
Yes, that's right.
And then when it starts to deteriorate, that's when you end up with a mental illness. So there hasn't been a lot of talk about what are some of the things that people can do to look after their mental health compared to when we're talking about physical health, eating five a day, exercising and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we need to be having more and more of these conversations about the little things that people can do to look after their mental health.
Well, we are going to be talking about some of those tips here on ABC Radio Perth in just a moment. I'm talking with Tandy Kawana, who's a mental health nurse. Now, you've been working in the community in Perth. Have you noticed that stigma is greater in the African community in Perth?
Yes, I'd have to say yes, because I remember when I started sharing my own personal story, I had people in the community saying to me, mental illness is a Western disorder.
Ah.
Africans were resilient. We don't get that. And I knew, because I'm a nurse and I've worked in mental health services, I know that mental illness does not discriminate. It doesn't know your race, your gender, or where you're from. But I have to say, we're progressing, because more and more people are starting to have these conversations.
So a few years ago, you had a problem.
Yes.
How did you go asking for help?
I knew, as a professional, I knew exactly what was happening to me. And I think this is what was difficult for me, because I had professional stigma and I also have my cultural stigma of mental illness. What scared me was thinking that I am going to end up being the people that I looked after. And it was a scary thought.
Right.
For me. And I could see myself slipping into there. I'd quickly gone to the GP and I went in my pajamas and I didn't even realize that I just walked out the door, dropped the kids at school, and went to the GP in my pajamas. And that's so unlike me. That told me that something was not right with me. But I went home and I said, the doctor doesn't know what he's talking about.
Oh. Did the doctor give you a diagnosis there and then?
Yes. Yeah, I went to my GP and he gave me a diagnosis and he put me on the mental health care plan.
Yeah.
So when I went home, I was then in denial. And I thought, this can't be me. I can't have a mental illness. I can't be on antidepressants. I don't need them.
So did you take them?
I did. I did, because I was conflicted about what was happening to me, because during that time also I had people in the community attributing what was happening to me with demons, you know, from a religious perspective, and also witchcraft. And so there was a lot of confusion in my life at the time. But at the back of my mind, my professional cap told me that the doctor knew what he was talking about.
So good girl, taking the medication. How did it affect your family? Because you've got kids.
Yes. I think the hardest part for me was seeing my kids troubled. And coming back from school, I'd be set where they would have left me.
Right.
Yeah. And I wasn't eating, nothing was fun. I'll just be set there until they come back. And then they'd ask me whether I'd taken my medication. And I felt that they'd taken the role of a carer. And I'm supposed to be looking after them. They're only little. My daughter must have been 6 at the time, and my son was 8 at the time, and they were worried.
So, Tandy, you sought help, which was, you know, step one. You took the medication, step two. Yeah. What got you back on track?
I had a very good psychologist. Very good. He said to me, I want you to think of something that you're really passionate about, something that you do for free. And I want you to do more of that.
Okay.
Yes.
And what was that?
At the time, I wasn't working. I had just started making body butters for my kids. My son has mild eczema. And it worked for him. And he came back and he said, Mom, why don't you make more of this and sell it?
Body batters?
Yes.
So it's like a cream?
Lotion. Yes, right. Like a cream. So I started making more and more, and I started selling them. And before I knew it, my mood was starting to lift. But I have to say, the one thing that really did help me was, at the time, I'd heard someone saying, if you're not feeling your best, helping others makes you feel better. So I started volunteering.
What kind of volunteering, and what was it about the volunteering that helped?
I went to Mirabuka and I spoke to service providers, and I wanted to share my story and run groups with women talking about mental illness and mental health and some of the issues that we face as first-generation African Australians. And I found that the more that I shared my story and the more I was vulnerable, a lot of people started coming to me and telling me about their experiences. And I thought, I'm not on my own. We're in this together. There's so many people who are struggling, and some didn't know that there was a name to what they were experiencing. So I started feeling good knowing that other people are starting to open up about their experiences and also wanting help.
I'm speaking with Tandy Kuana, who has recovered from depression. And some of the tips that she says is, after asking for help and doing what the doctor says, obviously, doing more of what you like and volunteering. And there was a third thing you did. You wrote a gratitude journal, which our afternoons presenter has been doing all week and saying that it feels really good to do it.
Yes.
So tell me about that.
So every day in the morning when I wake up, I have to look for 3 things that I'm thankful for. And as the day goes by, when something doesn't happen the way that I want to, or doors are shut, I remember of the 3 good things. So that one thing surely can't dampen my mood, because I've got other good things that are happening for me in my life. So it makes me not sweat the small stuff as much. So it's helped me deal with stress in a way.
And you're recovered now?
Yes.
But you still do the journal?
Yes, I still do the journal. I look after my mental health now more than I look after my physical health, I have to admit. I don't always eat 5 a day, but I do stuff to make sure that my mental health stays healthy. So I exercise, I do the gratitude journal, but most of all, I play. I'm a playful person, so I'll play games with my kids. and, you know, we'll dance, we'll do all the things that make us feel good.
Tandy, thank you so much. I'm so pleased to be able to share your positive story today about how you overcame depression and to share your tips. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Tandy Kawana is a mental health nurse, and as you can hear, she's passionate about sharing her story to help normalise the conversation. Please seek help if you think your mental health could be better. It could be a conversation with a friend or your doctor, or maybe choose one of the many services that are out there, like Lifeline, Men's Line Australia, Beyond Blue and Headspace, among many others.